We stand still in a season of light, in a season of epiphany. And so far, we have followed the shining star. We have experienced the overwhelming joy of traveling in spirit and in body to behold the Christ child. And yet, we are still called to journey. Indeed, we are called to be moved in spirit and in body, in mind and in our whole being, towards the light which illuminates the path before us as the people of God. A path that will undoubtedly be riddled with unexpected peaks and much chagrined valleys. But more importantly, it is a path that will be filled with hope and renewal, calling us to live in our whole beings in ways that glorify our Lord, our Savior, our King. We are called to remain in this steady and motion way of being, this called to be like the wise ones who use their mind and their being to move towards radiance and revelation. We are to stay on an epiphany journey. We are to stay in faithful observation, reflection of how God has moved and is moved. And we aren't to stay in that place of reflecting. We are to respond. On this second Sunday of Epiphany, as we've discussed with our little ones, it is the Baptism of the Lord Sunday. It is the baptism of our Christ child grown up. At the same time, though, we don't just celebrate Christ's baptism as something that happened long ago, but we celebrate the beauty that is baptism for each of us in our own lives. For in baptism, we experience the connection with Christ, the one who, though had not one ounce of sin, chose to enter into these waters, these places of unknown. And in doing so, shared the power of the Holy Spirit with each of us in creation. And God claims us as he claimed Jesus in those waters. In baptism, we celebrate a new life. We are ordained in our baptism. We are called and equipped, anointed, and given what we need to begin our journey as disciples. And as Jesus was proclaimed as the beloved, we too are called and named as beloved members of God's household. Sisters and brothers together. Now, some of us have vivid memories of our own baptisms. And some of us have had to rely on the gift of community to tell us about our baptism stories. And others still have our strongest memories from watching the baptism of others, family members, friends, our children, nieces, nephews. So PPC family, we're going to talk about baptism. And I'd like for you to think in your mind of a baptism, a specific time, the most vivid baptismal memory you have. And as you think, what comes to you? What stuck? And why did it stick about that particular baptism? If you have a baptism in mind, shake your head. Is there anyone who's willing to share about that particular baptism and what made it special?
Hello. I was baptized twice. First time as a baby in the Presbyterian Church in Greencastle, Pennsylvania. Second time, much to the chagrin of some of our family, I accompanied my son and his wife to a Pentecostal church, and I was there for 4 years. And I learned a lot from them, but as you can see, I'm back at PPC. And I hadn't known PPC then, so anyway, that I was baptized with my son, and little did I know that what we have, like a stage up here, that just pulled back. Maybe ours does. And it was a baptismal pool. And you wore, you didn't go in your clothes, you wore a special outfit that people couldn't see through, and The two of us went in together, and what made it special was, one, I was with my son, and two, we were both old enough to know what we were doing, and three, they gave a saying, I don't know what you call it, but anyway, a prophecy, like, for each of us. I knew that the prophecy they gave to me was not going to come true in that church. But it certainly has come true in this church. So thank you.
I, too, was baptized twice. The first as a child, which I don't remember, in my church home. But many of you know that my father is a camp director, and I grew up at a Presbyterian church. And when I was a teenage girl, there was all girls in my group, and they were really awful to each other. Or I guess I was part of it. I don't really remember. But with some creative camp counselors, we had a sunrise service early in the morning. And then during FOB, which was nap, or rest time, called flat on bunk, we had, our group was baptized, if anybody wanted to be baptized in the creek, and I think that was just really powerful to me, because A, I was able to remember it, but B, being a teenager and sort of realizing we could start anew, and we could be refreshed, and God will forgive us, and, but also I think being baptized in that camp community, which was very, very much another faith community that was important for my growth. And just being outside in nature and having that connection as well. So I will never forget it, and I'm ready to write a letter to or track down that person who organized that, because that has always stuck with me as a baptism memory.
Excuse me, frog in my throat. As soon as you you mentioned that, I'm looking here at Nathan, and I remember Nathan's baptism, and just how there was no family that prayed for Nathan as hard as they did, and he was so loved, and to have that, to be able to share that in this congregation, and to have all of us speak about how we were going to nurture Nathan, and to see him sitting here, just has how it's come full circle. So that has been very meaningful for me.
I was thinking of Nathan's baptism too, and if you don't know the story of Nathan, well, you can ask Nathan how he came into our family, or you can ask me later. But also the fact that Rita Garenbeck was there, and all the people who, like you said, prayed with us for many, many years, and the fact that he actually came from this congregation. And but before that, I was also thinking of my baptism, which wasn't really a vivid memory. I remember actually standing about right there in that particular church as a four-year-old. And my parents were not baptized. It was a Lutheran church. And it's not strictly kosher to baptize a child that young without the parents being baptized. But they broke the rules for me and had another couple from the congregation, who I don't even know their names, stand up and so that I could be baptized. And knowing that story, that they broke the rules so that I could be baptized, and that knowing how I always wanted to go to church, even when I was going as a child by myself, I like the fact that they broke the rules.
God of grace, God of mercy.
I feel a little weird sharing this, but I feel like I should. So I was also baptized twice, which is a weird kind of, you know, commonality between all these stories. So my parents grew up Roman Catholic and became basically evangelicals when I was like two. Anyway, we were going to like a community church when I was like, I don't know, between like 5 and 10. And I think what I remember about baptism is around like, I don't know, 7 or 8, feeling a lot of pressure to be baptized as like an adult, right? Like believer's baptism. And having a really hard time figuring out like why, right? Like what, like, okay, so, you know, being told, you know, the kind of theology of the atonement, right? And not being able to kind of figure out like, not being able to make sense of, you know, the substitutionary atonement. Like, you know, okay, so original sin and Jesus' death kind of somehow kind of cancels out the, you know, the my sin and the kind of theological equation of salvation. I just couldn't kind of figure it out, right? And meanwhile, feeling all this kind of pressure from youth pastors to get baptized because it was like time, right? Anyway, I eventually decided to get baptized. And I remember being in like the tank behind the curtain in front of the church and crying, actually tears of a kind of joy. Like, I think it was like a Holy Spirit sort of thing, but still not being able to make sense of it, right? And I actually, you know, part of my job is explaining kind of like the history of like ideas about baptism and stuff like that, and I still can't always make sense of it. But I don't know. I don't even know what I want the takeaway point from this to be, except for the fact that I think it's important to talk about with kids and also to talk about different ways of understanding what it is. I don't know, I was really struck by Ben's original sin explanation versus like the kind of more, I don't know, Protestant explanation. Anyway, I think it's all to the good. But.
My mother was Presbyterian, my father was Baptist. And my father agreed to go to the Presbyterian church with her as long as the children were not baptized as infants. So I was 10 years old when I went through the confirmation class and was baptized and became a member of the church, and I could then have communion. In those days, you had to be a member of the church to partake in communion. And for me, it was a symbol of the fact that I was now fully a member of the church. And that church small church that no longer exists, but that small church is one that nurtured me for a long time.
Baptism is complex, amen? And we all come with such different experiences of what this sacrament, and in our tradition, one of two sacraments, really means. It becomes clear when we share our stories that God speaks to us each in different ways, amen? The Bible, this shared collection of narratives and poetry, prose, they all attest to the voice of God in different tones, in different ways, depending on who and when and where God is speaking. But there are some things that combine, connect, and intersect with all of our lives. Some things that are essential, important, that go past any boundaries. For humanity, one of those essential elements is water. Water is one of those images that from the beginning, I mean literally the beginning, the very first page of our Bible is there. And it is crucial to our understanding of the world and of creation. This water, this deep, this formless void is awesome. And it is essential to our understanding of our existence. My experience was that I was 8 years old when I was baptized. And there was this song that they would sing at the Missionary Baptist Church where I was baptized. And it went like this. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized. And so they would sing this, and I heard it sung at every baptism. And I shared this with a couple of people yesterday. I wanted to be baptized early, except I had almost drowned. And so for me, water was this awesome and awful thing. And so I wrestled as a child. I was 8. But there was a day with, despite the fear of existing, the call to make those steps forward pulled me. The call of the water pulled me despite fears, despite knowing my inadequacies. Would I even survive through this baptism was an actual question I had in my mind. But God's grace and God's mercy showed that this water that was at once awesome, full of potential, ushering me into the family of Christ, well, it was transformative for me. And how I saw water from that moment changed. Because at the very same time, I saw that it was awesome, this amazing hotbed of who we very much are. Our very beings are full of water. Yet I knew that water was strong and powerful, and that this same water was the water that washed Pharaoh's armies away. As an adult, I get that water is both liberating and sustaining, but delicate. Water is transformative. It can be a vessel for newness and refreshment. And most importantly, change. our scriptures today. They are passages that show that water is essential in the movement of God in two very pivotal times in our text. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the waters were there. This formless void, this darkness, this face of the deep. And it is over that very water that God spoke, "Let there be light." And God saw the light, and it was good. Water, this water, it's mysterious, amen? And it is over the waters that God speaks the most amazing words to God's very own. "You are beloved. This is my child. And in this child I am pleased." We celebrate baptism in all of its mystery. We celebrate as baptized disciples that we carry within our being water. We are washed by water. We are nurtured by water. And in water, we not only are transformed, but because of it, we are able to be transformative in the world. Amen. We are forever changed by our baptisms, whether your baptism story is one you have access to or one that comes from within the community. We become, in words and deeds, channels of peace, rivers of hope for a thirsty world. We are like a creek that flows in this time and day where we need another Rhine River to run through Paris. Amen. In this time and day where we need blankets of water turned to snow to land upon Colorado Springs as they deal with bombings at NAACP offices. We need to be in touch with what it is to be water people. Amen. And right here in our community, I believe we are called to be streams of justice that flow. Amen. Rivers of reconciliation in a place where we need it so much. Water changes things, and by God's grace and design, so can we. Our words and our deeds, our reflections and our responses, in all of it, we are named and claimed as God's very own. Let's be about our family's business. Amen. Remember your baptism. And for those who are not baptized, because I realize we are all at different places, come if you feel called. Know that this family is ready to embrace you whenever, and that we sit with you right now, right where you are. Remember the power of baptism everywhere you see water. This is my hope, is that when you leave this place, everywhere you see water, you will be reminded of baptism in the shower, when you make your cup of tea, when you go to the ocean, wherever you are, where you see water, remember that you are God's child. And most importantly, remember that you have been named and claimed by our Creator, Liberator, and Sustainer. Amen.